All right. Are there any of the developments that you just shared with me that you'd like to specifically talk about, or shall we just go through the pipeline as it's laid out here?
You know, so I think we can go through as laid out. There's one other thing. So I've met with Bruce Byrd several times. So he's the chief legal officer of AT&T.
I serve on this YMCA board committee with him, and then we had lunch. It was a good lunch. He wants to introduce me to AT&T's head of litigation. I just need to follow up on that. And I'm also trying to help his daughter get into a selective school here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Helping on the personal front is always the best way in, as you're, you know, looking to sort of bolster that relationship until the matter is ready for you.
Yep. So there's that. But other than that, I did not yet follow up with Karen Johnson, which I need to do to send that leadership article for just going through the tiles now. So I need to get that done.
Is there anything that's getting in the way of that?
I think it was just last time we spoke, the Combs prospect got hot, as well as the Pinnacle Propane. And so I chased those to the exclusion of other biz dev work. So I literally need to spend the time to find a good article to send her away.
Yeah. Okay. So is that something that you can delegate, or is it really, it has to be you?
I can delegate finding an article to an associate. Absolutely.
Maybe an associate that's worked on McKesson and, you know, would understand what Karen might be interested in.
Well, McKesson is not an existing client, so.
Oh, I see. So it's just a matter of you saying in broad brushstrokes to the associate, I need some thought leadership on, you know, X, Y, and Z. Find me something, right?
Yep. Yeah, she works in, I mean, it's probably faster for me to do it, frankly. I just need to make it happen.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's that delegation conundrum, right? Should you just do it yourself because it's faster this time, or should you start training somebody else, even though this time it's going to take longer, and maybe next time it's going to take longer? By the third or fourth time, you've got somebody who's actually gotten pretty good at isolating articles for your business development. You are going to have a hard time getting to your goal if you don't delegate just about everything, my friend. Like, you're going to be the choke point. You're going to be the thing that keeps you from being able to generate that kind of revenue.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, $30 million is a lot of leverage.
Yep. Yeah.
So think of yourself as a $30 million organization. A $30 million organization would have a full sales team of, at least 15 salespeople, probably more, working full time. And then there's the CEO of that organization who is, handling high-level strategic matters, marquee clients to the extent that he or she hasn't been able to delegate that to somebody else on the team, certainly is never involved in anything that is anywhere, you know, near a $100 or $400 an hour pay scale, because there are people on the team that'll do that. So, you know, the $30 million CEO is only touching things that are worth five figures, six figures per hour, which means managing the sales team and making sure that they're doing all of that stuff is a better use of a half hour of your time than doing the thing itself, even if it only takes you 15 minutes.
That's a great point. Yep. Yeah, I need to go. That's exactly right.
So I think the next step, you know, if we were to look at this tile, would not be send Karen. It would actually be talk to whatever the name of the associate is about sending Karen, and then the rest of it is set.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I'll edit this now. Yes, I need to get a team of associates. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have in mind who those people might be?
That's what I'm thinking about right now. So I know Deion Robbins is one. I'm trying to find people who would be loyal and dedicated and would prioritize my business development work over, would have the time to do it and be reliable.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, how many people do you think would be ideal given my ambitions and my contacts?
Well, you know, start with one or two who have a real knack for this and build from there. I think the more you start delegating, it's a little bit like a good drug. The more you start taking it, the more you want to take it. And the more you recognize yeah. that, you know, there's you're building up a tolerance for delegating as opposed to doing it yourself. So I would say start, you know, walking before you're running, but be prepared to end up running because that's what it's going to take.
Got it. Yep. Yeah, so I have a sense of three people who leap to mind.
Okay. Great. Let's talk about James Waters. Make sure you've got the right strategy in mind. Take the Lunch is a little generic, but that might be all we need.
Yeah, right? I mean, I need to improve my descriptions or whatever they are. But I really just wanted to get the names down so you could see them. But so James, I'm having lunch with, I'm trying to find the date right now. I'm pretty sure it's this week. Huh. I thought it was this week. So reminder lunch. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Friday, July 26th. So I had a reminder this week to make the reservations to confirm with him which restaurant. But we're scheduled for July 26th.
Okay. So, yeah, with the tile, just because, again, this saves you redundancy. I cannot stress enough how precious every single second of your work life is, given your goals. So, you know, you don't want to look at a tile and not have it tell you exactly what it means. And then you have to rethink it. And then you're like, wait, I already thought I did that. Right. So whenever you, if you're going to take the time to type, take the lunch, add four more words to it that really says make reservation for or whatever. And that way, the second you get either your email alert or you look at this tile, you're going to be 100% clear what you need to do.
Yep.
You know how sometimes okay. you work with people who just have bad communication skills and they're a little bit vague and it's kind of frustrating yep. because it ends up wasting time and then you have to re-communicate with them and clear up what they meant and all that back and forth, right? It's almost like you're being that to yourself by not being specific with your tiles.
Got it. Okay.
And for the most part, you're really good about that. I mean, I'm looking at these others and seeing that your tasks are nice and specific, but this is why it's important to do it across the board.
Yep.
And are you clear okay. on your agenda for this lunch with James?
So no. So I need to think about that. So James is a good friend, and mentor who became a chief legal officer about a year ago. He operates out of Austin, and so I've already teed up that we have a really good financial services practice group. Including a woman that he went to law school with, but doesn't know. I think they're the same class. And so I teed that up, but I really just want to push him to start sending us some financial services litigation work.
Right.
I made a push for this last year. He was like, I'm new to the job. You know, give me a year to get up to speed. And I know he's been giving business to some – I met a woman from D.C. that he's given work to. And it's just a question mark why he hasn't given us any. And we're in the same state.
So do you know him well enough to have a very candid inquiry as to, you know, why them and not us and what is next
yep,
for us?
I do. Yep.
Great. Yeah, I think just so that, again, you don't have to double think this, I would put that in the tile for your lunch agenda. And you can either use the notes section on the tile for that or just stick it right into the task. But that way, you know, this is an effective reminder as you get closer to the date too. The right, I'm going to be really direct with him about help me understand the landscape, help me understand the politics, and help me understand what expectations we can set together of when you'll be able to start sending work our way.
Yep.
You should be prepared for, and I'm sure you are, I mean, you've been doing this successfully for a while, but it might be helpful to know in advance who he's sending the work to, just so you can do a little bit of research up front. Like if he says Latham, then you know, okay, I'm not necessarily going to be able to have a rates conversation with him and try to beat him on that because our rates are about the same, or, you know, I can't tell him global platform because Latham's got a pretty good one too. If it's, you know, I don't know, Emmanuel Quinn, maybe I can talk to him about responsiveness because I happen to know that they probably, you know, Frostbank probably isn't their top client, and we'd give them that white glove treatment because, you know, I'm the relationship partner, whatever. Like, what's your angle? What are you going to, I mean, you know, as much as he loves you and he'd like to send you work, it's got to make sense for the business. And yeah, he probably got to convince people on his team that this is why we're doing this, other than just, I want to do my buddy a solid. So
yeah,
the more you can go in armed with some win-win justifications to pivoting the outsourcing of that legal work, the more you help him, A, lock in the decision for himself, and B, navigate any internal politics that may get in the way when you're not in the room.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. Let me just make note of that too. So I'm editing the Frostbank one, and all the words are there. Nail down specific value proposition to Frostbank and James. Yeah, and so what I intended to, maybe I should think more about this, what I intended to highlight was specifically our expertise in the financial services industry. So we represent Wells Fargo and Bank of America on some pretty big litigation matters. And I think we have a new push to bring in more financial institutions clients. And so I think I may be able to get him some pretty attractive discounted rates or AFAs.
Good. So that's what I'd be really interested in, who he's sending the work to, right? Because if they have an established FinServ practice, then there's not as much incentive for that firm to, you know, be aggressive in terms of setting up an attractive package for him.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, the other firm gets to boast that we're really established in this space and we're going to give you a deep level of expertise and industry knowledge and all that. But, you know, hopefully you know him well enough that you can kind of navigate through that stuff. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a matter of finding out what his priorities are. And I think this is a good question to ask him. Does he care more about value on rates? In which case, yeah, pivot into FinServ as an emerging group for us. And so we're really motivated to, I'm motivated because I'm your friend, and management's going to be motivated because they want to get into this space more to work with you to find a rate that's better than what you're getting. If his value is more about depth of expertise, then I wouldn't even go there. I'd just say, you know, because we're really committed to this space right now, we've been doing a lot of research and thought leadership. And in fact, I just happened to bring this, I don't know, white paper, article, whatever, that you had, you know, Dion or somebody research by way of preparation for that meeting, but you're kind of like ready for it, right? If his value is more about, no, man, I want to be working with my best friends, and then, you know, that one's real easy, because you've already got that relationship, and it's just been a matter of making the ask and finding the timing. But again, you know, these are just the things you want to think about going into the meeting. I think it's hard to ask him what his priorities or his values are over an email, but you can certainly ask where he's sending the work. and then be prepared to pivot the conversation in whatever direction would be the appropriate response when you ask him over lunch what his values and what his priorities are in terms of, you know, where he sees the work going long term.
Yep. Okay, yeah, that's helpful.
But it's always a question to ask with each of these prospects, you know, what really motivates them? You know, why would they want, or, you know, maybe the better way to say it is, what are they trying to accomplish other than just outsource the legal work and get the problem off their desk? Because certainly any firm can do that for them.
Yeah.
But we all have our personal preferences in terms of what we want to accomplish when it comes to our agenda. You know, in other words, like, how is it going to feel as it's happening? Because whether or not it's happening is not a question. There's plenty of law firms that'll do it. But is it going to feel like I'm getting a value? Is it going to feel like I'm working with people that I just really trust and love and I like that feeling? Or mm-hmm. is it going to feel like I don't even have to think twice because I know if I give this to you, you're going to bring a depth of expertise that I don't have to question? Or is it going to feel like you guys are so amazing on client service that you're going to be anticipating my needs and I can sleep at night? So yeah. What are the strengths you can bring to the table that hit that psychographic component? You know, we make intellectual decisions, or sorry, we make emotional decisions, we justify them intellectually. So how we want to feel is usually what's driving our behavior.
Yeah.
You know, as somebody who's an athlete, I know what I'm talking about because you've developed the discipline to do stuff even though you didn't feel like it. But most people never develop that muscle.
Yeah.
So they're making decisions with their heart, with their gut, with their feelings, with whatever's comfortable. And then, you know, slap the name of the law firm that makes that happen. That's going to be the law firm that got the work.
Yeah. Okay. That's very helpful.
All right, so taking that framework into account, where can we go next with, let's say, BT Group?
So BT Group is a card for me. So this is the one where I have a very good close friend who moved to London, became the number two guy at BT Group, British Telecom, and he introduced me to the company's chief legal officer. I flew out to London, had a really productive meeting with her back in late October, early November of last year. It went so well that she said that she was going to invite the firm to participate in an RFP that they were going to initiate in January. Mm. And she also invited me to meet with her North American GC, who just so happens to be based here in Dallas, and asked me to essentially evaluate him over lunch and give her feedback on my assessment of him as North American GC. So I met with him for lunch, gave her my assessment, followed up in January on the RFP. She said they were going to push it back to February. I followed up in February. She said they were going to delay it longer. I followed up multiple times, and she said, Taj, I think the last time I followed up was May or June. And I can actually give you her response verbatim, because I have a BT Group folder. So essentially, she was like, Taj, we have you in mind. We haven't started yet. We'll keep you posted when we do. I was actually going to solicit your expertise to figure out the best way. I mean, I don't want to be a bugaboo.
And what do you do when they say, don't call us, we'll call you, right?
Yeah. So the last time I reached out to her was June, because I went back for my college reunion. Yeah. And there's a guy, she used to be the GC for InBev. And one of my friends is this mega billionaire who's on the board of that, who she's enamored with. So I said, hey, Sabine, I ran into Alejandro Santo Domingo, who's worth $13 billion, and his wife, who's Lady Charlotte Wellesley, who's the daughter of the Duke of Wellington. And so I just wanted to, you know, I use that as an excuse to follow up. And she's like, hey, Taj, Yeah, here it is. Hi, Taz. We haven't launched yet, but we will be sure to include you.
On a side note, you know, I'm starting to get a little sour that I wasn't invited to your wedding, because that sounds like that would have been like a who's who of
it was extraordinary.
Pretty magnificent guest list.
Hondro is amazing. If you just Google him, he's in Vanity Fair every issue, man. He's a very handsome guy who was the president of my finals club in college, and he for years he literally would only date Victoria's Secret models and Sports Illustrated models. He's from Colombia. I think he dated Cher at one point. And he finally settled down when we turned 40, and that's when he married Lady Charlotte Wellesley. And their wedding, according to the social papers, was the wedding of the year. It was at some castle in Spain, he's a
very big
guy.
And those poor Victoria's Secret models, nobody will even talk to him. he's very big hearted. All right. So I think, you know, back to this opportunity, the message to you has been, we will let you know. The problem with that is it takes the ball out of your court, unless, of course, you serve another ball over the net, right? So
yeah.
So what has been your strategy in the past of being proactive in communication when you get a message that would likely deter most of your colleagues who just figure, well, they know where to find me?
Frankly, in the past, I would just stand down, because I just have a strong aversion to sweating people.
It's not a binary. You're not sweating somebody just because you reach out to them. Look, if you think of this less as a sales exercise and more of an exercise in maintaining friendships, it relaxes your position on it and gives you a lot more options to pursue. So, hey, Michael, I was reading this article and it made me think of you and I thought I'd just send it over to you. Again, let me know what you think of paragraph 3, page 2. That's like specifically very, very relevant to BT Group. Hey, Michael, we've got this really cool firm event in your area, and just wanted you to be aware of it in case the speaker is of interest to you. Hey, man, I don't know about you, if you know this about me, but I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to TED Talks, and I just happened to spot one that is really cool, and it reminds me of this one conversation we had, right? Like, this is your mission now, is to find random reasons to reach out to Michael with value that have nothing to do, by the way, with getting on preferred counsel. You know that's hanging out there, and you know that's hanging out there. There's no need, like, the worst thing you do, this is sweating them, is being like, well, hey, man, how about now? Preferred counsel now? How about now? How about now? It's been a week. How about now? Right? Like, that's a process.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
So Michael was the business guy who introduced me to the woman who's the chief legal officer, Sabine. And so I've been following up with Sabine Chalmers, and she's the one who said, we'll keep you in mind. And so I think I put Michael Sherman, because he's a super close friend, so I can just reach out to, like, hey, Michael, I've run into a brick wall. What's going on? I can have that frank conversation with Michael. And in fact, my wife had a layover in London and met with his wife. And so it's an easy.
Yeah, that one's great. That's like number one is teed up for you. Number two might be, hey, Michael, you know, Sabine has let me know that she's going to let me know, and that's fine. But can you give me a little more intelligence on some of the things that, you know, she might be into or struggling with? Because I want to find appropriate ways to stay on her radar. You know, let's be honest, like, it could be a year before she thinks of me again.
Yeah.
And he might be like, you know, she's really into updates on, you know, this kind of regulation, or she's really into, I don't know, she's got kids, and so she's really into summer activities with four-year-olds, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, Sabine, I was just chatting with Michael. He mentioned that you have a four-year-old. You know, I found that this is awesome for four-year-olds. I don't know, right? Like, it just needs to be more connection points that advance advance the dialogue through means that aren't directly pointed to put me on preferred counsel.
Yep. Okay.
So if you don't know Sabine well enough for that stuff, Michael can give you some intelligence. And frankly, I might even be like, where are Sabine and Michael geographically?
They're in London.
I don't know. You got any trips to London planned?
Not currently.
Yeah. It does make it more complicated when they're across the globe. But you know where I'm
going
with it, right? Like, being in the neighborhood would be ideal here. Hey, let's the three of us get together for lunch.
Yeah. And I may just make a trip over there anyway, because I'm going to need a miles trip to keep status probably by the end of this year.
Yeah. I envy your problems. And the Duke of Wellington probably misses you. So. Anyway, the point here is that either through Michael or directly through Sabine, you know, we need a little more intelligence. We need to find some ways to demonstrate value. One way to think about it is you're sort of auditioning for this part called preferred counsel, right?
Yep.
And the way that you audition for something is that you show someone a sample of your work in advance of getting the job. So show them how thoughtful you are. Show them how you've already got their back. You're already thinking of them, even in advance of them paying you for your time. Show them that you're not mercenary. Show them that you, you know, care.
Yep. Got it. Okay. That's helpful.
Now, you may, like, Sabine may be prickly, and she may come back to you with, Taj, you know, thanks for this, but we'll let you know. Like, she goes back to her kind of hardline position. That's fine. You haven't lost anything. Really, you've lost nothing. And you maybe have learned that you'll have to get even more creative or even more sort of, you need to warm up that relationship more before you even earn the right to send her a friendly email about something that is an interest of hers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then she moves to the, you know, holiday card and birthday card list. That's fine. That's still 2 a year.
Absolutely. Okay.
And either way, you know, again, whether you do this on a personal level or a professional level, you kind of have to calibrate that based on how well you know these people. But your firm is constantly putting out content and webinars and presentations. And, you know, you've got lawyers in London, don't you?
We do, yeah. So when I had the meeting, I took the managing partner of our London office with me, Peter Crowther.
So maybe there's a call with Peter somewhere in here too, to say, you know, Peter, we need to put some stuff in front of Sabine. You know, I would appreciate it if on the next CLE you invite her to the firm, or let's you and I work together to present something. I will pipe in virtually via VC, and you will have one of your lawyers on site at BT Group, and you will joint present this thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. And the other thing is maybe I can follow up with her North American GC, who I vouched for.
Yep. Love that. So, moral of this story is back down is never the right move unless they've been really clear that you better back down.
Yeah.
If they say, thanks, we'll let you know, you're like, fantastic, about the other thing. And you stay in dialogue. It's always yes okay. And.
Yep. Okay.
All right, we're going to run out of time here. So I want you to pick one that is – you know, particularly challenging, or where, you know, you're really painting with a broad brush stroke and you could use some finer strokes on it.
Yeah, I think the two highest targets outside of Toyota and McKesson are probably going to be Kimberly-Clark, which is my existing client, and then Boeing, I would say. So Kimberly-Clark, I have two tiles for them. So that's the one where I'm friends with the general counsel, Jeff Malucci, and I helped him find his new global head of litigation, who's a close personal friend of mine. They have a preferred counsel list that we are not currently on. Jeff threw me a bone, and got me a patent litigation case, a small case that I quickly settled earlier this year for pennies on the dollar. We kicked butt on that matter. But they have not opened up the RFP process for a new preferred counsel list. The new head of litigation is a close friend. He's a super Dallas socialite who kind of, I think, sees me as her little brother / mentee. And I get the sense that she probably wants to give work to people that she admires and have mentored her. So I got to push my way through there. Now, we just bought a house, and we actually live a couple streets down from Jeff. And so he and his wife have said that they want to invite my wife and me to dinner sometime soon. And so I'm just trying to figure out how to open up that relationship so we can become sort of preferred litigation counsel for them. The other tricky thing is I sense that their new head of litigation, my friend, does not like our top trial lawyer here, who was rivals with her former managing partner.
And is it, would that partner necessarily have to be involved in any work that you might acquire?
Not necessarily. I mean, if it's a high profile case going to trial, we always want him involved because he's the best trial lawyer in Texas. And so he just brings a level of quality. But it's not like he's the only guy who try a case in the office.
Right. Well, I mean, I think your couple's dinner is a good opportunity for you to get some more intelligence because, you know, while the wives are talking about something, you can kind of lean in and chat with him and test some of these assumptions to see if they're true.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly ways that you can communicate that senior partner doesn't have to be involved unless you really need to get him involved. And it's sort of like, you know, he may not be your favorite person, but if you're in a fight, you want him on your team, right?
Yeah.
Kind of position it that way. And until that happens, and hopefully it never does, but if it does, you've got the biggest bully on your side. But in the day-to-day, you'll never have to deal with him. You know, sort of position those kinds of assurances, again, assuming you can make good on them, and I imagine you can. But you don't need to put that stuff even out there if it isn't as big a concern as you think it is.
Yeah.
So I think getting a better lay of the land of like, hey, Jeff, you know, I know there's been no, pardon me, RFP. Let's talk about, you know, how we can navigate something in advance of that. I know that, you know, or I just want to make sure there aren't any other reasons that might prevent us from working together. You know, anything about Winston's rates or Winston's team or anything like that at all, a concern for you or anyone on your team, and see what he brings up. Because you don't want to put it in there if it's not really there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think gathering intelligence is really the next step here. So that, let's see, I guess the right metaphor is learn where the target is so that your next shot is on target. Because right now, you're kind of shooting blind a little bit.
Mm-hmm. As I'm listening to you and looking through these tiles, I'm also trying to figure out ways that, like you said, I can leverage some associates to help me with this, or our internal resources like our marketing department, et cetera.
Yes. Well, I mean, you can always reach out to your marketing department and ask them to get some intelligence on any of these companies, including, you know, what firms are they using and what public information about their filings and, you know, what are their 10-Ks? Like, all that stuff is readily available, assuming they're public companies and, you know, that their matters have been sued in a public court somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other is Boeing. So Boeing, their global GC is located outside of Dallas. I can't remember if it's Seattle or Chicago. And it's a high profile prospect for the firm. There are other folks in the firm who have relationships there, but their general counsel, they have three major business units. Their GC for one of the business units is based here in Dallas. And he works closely with one of my really good friends and fraternity brothers who just introduced us over lunch about a month ago. Price is not an issue for Boeing. They like to use Kirkland Ellis. And so we talked about the GC, his name is Kuljit Gattaora, he's from England. He knows some of the other folks and knows the attempts we've made to bring them on as clients. And we had a good lunch, a good initial meeting. I just need to find a nice logical follow-up that can advance the ball.
Okay. You have any idea where, what their impressions of Kirkland have been? Here's our favorite
They're
thing
happy.
About working with that firm, and here's their least favorite.
So they like Kirkland, I think, because I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it's because they're aggressive litigators.
Okay.
And now that I think about it, what I should have done immediately following that lunch is written down my notes, because now my memory is failing me, because I got some good intel.
Yeah. Yeah, notes are always key. You know, it's just good to have that as a practice. And, there's a practice pipeline app. You could even throw it into the notes on the tile if you want to keep it all in one place.
Okay.
But that way, you're waiting for your car at the valet, or you're walking to the elevator or whatever, and you're tapping in a few thoughts to keep in mind for the next follow-up.
Yep. Oh, the other interesting thing with Boeing, so my friend is I think he's the most senior African-American executive at the company. So I think Kuljit actually reports to him in the Dallas area. He reached out to me literally Sunday. He's on a really powerful board here in the Metroplex, the Dallas Regional Chamber. And he wants to nominate me for that board. That's a powerful board of local CEOs, including the CEO of Toyota North America and others. And so the requirement is you're either the head of your company or the most senior person at your company in the Dallas region. I don't qualify on paper, but he said that they would still be interested in me. If my nomination gets approved and if my firm is willing to pay, I think it's like $17,000 a year for my membership, but it would be incredible access for me to, a bunch of C-level executives, including the CEO of Twitter North America. I think the CEO of AT&T is on that board too.
Yeah. I mean, I would say pay it out of your pocket or meet Winston halfway even. Like, that's just really smart money.
It's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's getting confirmation that they could, that I would be eligible even though I'm not the managing partner of the Dallas office. And then once I get confirmation that that's a go, I'm going to reach out to my firm. But that's a way, I mean, maybe, I'm just thinking through, maybe I meet with him on that and invite Kuljit to attend too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, there's more conversations that need to be had with Kuljit. Maybe your memory will drum up some of the details that you can add to your notes here, but we need more intelligence on either how we can share some of the pie with Kirkland or take some of the pie from Kirkland. But at a company like Boeing, it's not like they're sitting around looking for counsel.
Yeah, not at all.
You are now embarking on a war to steal something from them. From Kirkland, right? This is like hostile takeover of market share,
mm-hmm.
pure and simple. unless you've come up with some new practice area that, and you beat them to the punch, I don't know, some blockchain, something or another, AI, whatever. But, you know, it's not like Kirkland is sitting around not doing that stuff either. They're innovating too. So it really just comes down to, you know, Colgate, help me understand. I get that they're aggressive litigators. So are we. I get that you've been working with them for a while. We'd be a fresh perspective. And what matters most to you? It's back to that values conversation. You care about value on the dollar? You are currently assuming the answer is no. I would challenge that. Because even though they're Boeing and they are used to spending a lot of money on legal and Kirkland's rates are really high, it would make GC look good to go to the CFO and be like, oh, and by the way, I just saved us $3 million or $30 million or whatever it is on our legal spend this year. I don't care who you are. That puts a feather in your cap.
Yeah, that's right.
Or if it's not value, if they really are, oh, we're Boeing, nobody cares around here, we're making so much money. And, you know, these are bet the company matters and we don't want to switch horses or whatever, right? Great. So what area can we provide some value on based on what you do care about? Again, this could be responsiveness. This could be service. This could be expertise. This could be relationship. It could be diversity. It's like, dude, I'm African-American. You're African-American. Is the lead lawyer on the Kirkland team African-American? Or did they just throw a couple of people of color on the team to check the box?
Yep.
Any of these could be the leverage that you need to flip the rock. But you got to ask and you got to, you know, sort of get it from the horse's mouth and then leverage that to the best of your ability.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Hopefully you've got the relationship that you need at Boeing to get that kind of intelligence. And again, that's why getting on this board is only going to help advance strategic conversations like this one as you develop more of a personal relationship.
Yeah, no, William is a like I said, he's a fraternity brother and a good friend since he's come to Dallas. And my wife and I are helping him and his family find a new house and hopefully get his kids into the top schools in Dallas. So
good.
He's the one who offered up to introduce me to the GC and is hopeful that we can do work together. So he's definitely good. An advocate.
Good. Well, maybe he can provide the intelligence that you use, you know, with your contact here on the tile.
Yeah. I feel like I'm right there. I just got to flip a couple of these.
Again, back to whale hunting, like Toyota or AT&T or any of these, they've got counsel. Right. So we can't just be like, let's go in there and put in a good pitch. You and everybody else on the Am Law 50 is trying to get onto their panel. So at the end of the day, it's really going to come down to who's the most strategic, who's the one who bothered to ask the questions to find out where the chinks in the armor are, and then who had the gumption to propose something that would inspire them to pivot.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, and you know, this is, we can end on this note, but it's worth keeping in mind, you know, you're great, but you're not perfect. And Winston is great, but Winston isn't perfect. There is some client that Winston considers a marquee client, a precious asset that they're screwing up on. They're not being responsive enough, or they just put some associate on there as kind of, you know, too green and botching things up, or there's some partner who's resting on his laurels somewhere. And you know, your competitor is going to flip that rock. That's just how the game is played.
Yep.
So no one is immune from a poach.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I'm the attractive suitor waiting in the wings.
There you are. Exactly. Just waiting for that one minute. Yeah.
They got to mess up, get fat and sloppy while I'm working out.
That's it. And thank God for you. Human nature is on your side.
Okay.